Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, his word, and our joy in following him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. Today on our debut program, some key theological questions. Can one kiss Christianity goodbye? And what do we make of a celebrity preacher and author who has led people to true salvation, but then declares he himself is no longer a Christian? Well, it happened recently to a man who has made headlines, but you need to know this. This sort of thing happens a lot more frequently than you might think. How is that even possible? Today, we're going to cover a couple of topics around these questions. And as we do so, we're always going to bring you right back to Scripture.
That's right. For Christians, the Bible is our authority for what to believe, not our opinions and feelings. So be sure you know what your Bible says and compare everything Amy and I say to Scripture to make sure what you're believing is biblical. Okay, let's get to it. Since this is our debut podcast, we're going to take a moment and introduce ourselves and let you know why we wanted to launch this podcast.
Good idea. Michelle, why don't you go first? Why don't you share about who you are, your writing, your teaching, your testimony, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Well, my name is Michelle Leslie, and I'm basically a wife and a mom. I have 6 kids, 5 boys and 1 girl, and they range in age from 32 down to 16. So we've got a whole bunch of kiddos, and we just love them to pieces. And I also have an online women's ministry, Discipleship for Christian Women. You can find me at michelleleslie.com. And I'm interested in trying to help women to grow in Christ and to love Christ more, love the church more, serve their churches better. I also do some speaking engagements around the country and have a good time with that. But basically who I am is just a woman in Christ, a woman who is growing in Christ. I got saved when I was about 12 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. I like to say I was born on a Sunday evening during training union time, and I've been in church ever since. I think we call that discipleship training time now, but anyway. So I was born and I was raised in church, and I'm so thankful to my parents for raising me in church and teaching me to be faithful to the church as well. We were always there almost every time the door was open, and I just thank my parents so much for raising me that way. I prayed to receive Christ when I was about 12 and just kept steadily growing throughout my teenage years and all the way up until now. It's just been a steady growth process. And I'm just so thankful that Christ saved me and that he has brought me into his kingdom and helped me to come to know him and to grow in him as well. So Amy, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, you know, we are sisters in Christ. We've known each other for a long time online, but met at a speaking engagement recently, and it is so cool that that we are sisters in Christ. But we obviously were raised in a very, very different backgrounds. Our testimonies are a little bit different, although we've arrived at the same place. I guess I was raised in what I would call an agnostic, gospel hostile home with highly intelligent, loving parents who happened to land on Unitarian Universalism. So in our Sunday school, we studied everybody else's religions from Buddhism to Hinduism and New Age and that kind of thing. All my little friends at school were either Catholic or Lutheran, and I felt very left out, as did the one Baptist child who was not allowed to go to any of the parties, but I digress. But I always wanted to know, what is it that we believe, and what is it that we believe about Jesus? And I was always asking those questions of my family, and they'd say, well, whatever you want to believe, you know, you're free to believe whatever you want. And you know, they thought they were doing great by me, but they weren't giving me the one thing I was craving, which was doctrine, I guess. But I met my husband in high school, and he was a cradle Catholic, as you would say, started going to Mass with him, much to the surprise and amazement of my parents. So we married in the RCC, the Roman Catholic Church. And it wasn't until years later when it was my husband's eyes who were opened first, who came home one day and said, we're not Catholic anymore. So I said, well, what are we going to do? I know all the things, you know, I know when to stand, sit and cross myself. I was very, very naive and undiscerning. And so he said, well, let's try this ELCA church down the street. It was a Lutheran, very light. And the church that I went to, maybe they're not all this way, but the pastor taught that you didn't have to believe in Genesis to be a Christian. And he would bring his legal pad to the pulpit, and it wasn't filled with scripture. It was filled with notes that he took at our local Barnes & Noble, where he did his sermon prep using leadership books, and he was so excited. He'd talk about that at Sunday morning, and that's pretty much all I got. My only exposure in those years to the truth, a neighbor asked me to join BSF, Bible Study Fellowship International, and I bought my first Bible. I opened it up, and I started to read, and I was shocked. And one day, in one of those courses, I heard the gospel message preached rightly for the very first time, law and gospel. And I knew in that instant that God had saved me and showed me my vile, wicked heart. And then he gave me a new heart, but I wasn't discipled right away. I didn't have real discipleship because we moved around a lot. And we found a mega church where we got some purpose-driven discipling rather than biblical discipling. And I got a job there as the communications director. So I was one of the top five leaders in this huge mega church with the pastors. And that's where I had a front row seat to some of the lies that are infecting churches all around the world. It was a real mess. And God was opening my eyes to the truth through his word. And needless to say, when I spoke up about those things, about what I was seeing, all chaos broke out. So the church that we had loved so much was no longer our home. It was becoming not a safe place to be. So, and I don't want to sound like a snowflake, but it just wasn't the right place. But as it were, it took us 2 years to leave that church. And during that time, I was invited to launch a radio program called Stand Up for the Truth. And I was a co-host and researcher there for 5 years. And the guests we had on opened my eyes even more to scripture, to truth, to the lies. It was like standing under a waterfall, Michelle, you can just imagine. So that's my story. We've got two children. They're both grown. And my husband and I live on a little kind of hobby farm thing up in Wisconsin. So Michelle's the one with the accent way down south, and I'm the one way up there, you know, in the frozen white cold. So
also with an accent.
Yeah, I don't have an accent.
That's what I tell everybody too.
I think we should probably talk about this podcast that we're doing, why we're doing it, and why we decided to call it A Word Fitly Spoken. I got to give all credit to Michelle here because she came up with that. Talk about this name a little bit.
Yes. Well, A Word Fitly Spoken comes from Proverbs 25:11. And Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Mm-hmm. And it's really just a neat little verse that has so much truth really encapsulated in it. Some translations, like, for example, New American Standard says, a word spoken in right circumstances. Another translation says, a matter spoken at its proper time. And so this is what we would like to do. We would like to give our listeners a word spoken in the right circumstances, a word that is fitly spoken at its proper time, just to be exactly what they need at that moment. And then it says that right word, that fitly spoken word, is like apples of gold. And I did a bunch of studying on this verse, and it was so interesting to research this. Apples of gold, they think, are not, you know, like a solid gold apple, but actually a real apple that's a golden color, like a real apple, like the ones in our graphic for our podcast even. And that they may have even been apricots. We don't even know for sure. But they're apples of gold in settings of silver. And they believe that these settings of silver is talking about like a silver filigree latticework basket. So if you can imagine like a silver basket of golden apples, that they believe it may have even been used as a centerpiece. So people were decorating their houses and their tables with baskets of fruit, even way back in Solomon's time when Proverbs was written. And I just really think this verse represents really well what we want this podcast to be. We want to offer you those words fitly spoken, godly, biblical words that are just right for the moment, And while those words that we offer may be a good, nutritious sort of snack, like a golden apple, and pleasantly presented in a basket of silver, we hope we're going to pleasantly present the present those words to you. It's not the milk and the meat and the bread of a well-balanced spiritual diet that can only come from studying the word yourself, from prayer, and from the teaching and fellowship you can only get from being a faithful serving member of your own local church. So that's kind of the idea behind the podcast. We want to talk about current issues in evangelicalism sometimes. We want to talk about God's word. We want to answer your questions sometimes. So we're going to talk about a variety of things as they come to us, and hopefully give you that biblical perspective that'll be just right for the moment.
So necessary today. It really is. I know that there are a lot of voices out there that you could be listening to. You don't have to listen to ours. We hope what you do is you listen to Christ speaking to you. And guess how he speaks to you? He speaks to you through scripture. And so that's where we're going to land on this one. There are a lot of different types of gospels with a small g that people are following. Not that there are any true gospels out there, but the one that was given to us in scripture by God himself. So that's where we're going to point people. And I think as we were sharing our testimonies, it's really a natural segue to our topic today about eternal salvation and whether it's even possible to walk away after being a Christian. So this question of whether a person can lose his or her salvation, as we've apparently seen in the news headlines, it really cuts to the very core of our Christian lives. And I don't know about you, Michelle, but when I hear stories like this of people saying, well, I'm not Christian anymore. I was, but I'm not. Sometimes we just wonder if somehow could that be me or you? And what about our family members and our dear friends who seem to have made a profession of faith that we thought was real? And of course, we embrace them as brothers and sisters only to find out they're not really saved at all. So what happened?
Right, exactly. And I'll tell you, after I heard, what happened with Josh Harris, I even had a few moments myself of wondering, I'm certain in myself right now and in my heart that I'm saved, but what happens 10 years from now? What if I walk away from the faith or something like that? And certainly, we've heard of other celebrity pastors that this kind of thing has happened to. We've recently heard about Mark Driscoll, who has wandered over the past few years away from Reformed theology and off into the New Apostolic Reformation, basically. Tullian Chavijan, a few years ago, had some other things going on in his life with sin, but he has wandered off into antinomianism. I even personally know a pastor that this happened to, that my husband has always been a minister of music, and this is a pastor that we served under several years ago. And he and his family left our church, and then we kind of lost touch with them a little bit. But several years after they left our church, he divorced his wife of 20 years. He got we thought he was having a midlife crisis. He got into all kinds of things. And now I noticed on his website the other day, he's in some kind of communications website. He says he was a former pastor, and he's now, quote unquote, recovering from that. I don't really know what his deal is, but this really does happen more than, like you said, more than we really even think about a lot of times.
Yeah, there's other celebrity pastors and musicians as well, but some of them aren't so surprising. Within the last 15 years, we've had Rob Bell, of course, and a woman by the name of Glennon Doyle Melton, Jen Hatmaker, musicians like Gunger, Jars of Clay, Don Francisco, all became atheists. They really have. And they'll say, we're not Christian anymore. We were, but now we're enlightened. So these cases weren't really shockers, because you could see the slide happening long before they announced it. And I think it comes down to the compromise, the love for worldly endeavors, the lack of love for sufficiency of scripture. But now we have this latest newsmaker, Joshua Harris, who, just as a background for those who haven't heard, he served as a senior pastor at Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland. two decades ago almost, he wrote a book called I Kissed Dating Goodbye. It was all about purity, and he sort of became the face and spokesperson for purity, I guess, among that crowd. But he recently shocked everyone by sharing on social media that he and his wife were divorcing. Very sad news. And then shortly after that, he announced that he was no longer a Christian. And then a few days after that, or the following week, this was just recently, he posted a video of himself at a gay pride event holding a rainbow donut. And so we don't know where this is all going, but you can kind of see the writing on the wall. But the scary thing is, Michelle, is those who've followed Josh Harris over the years have posted and just posted that they knew that his walk back then to be solid. There didn't seem to be any signs to them that something was wrong. But you know, that someone who could actually turn their back on Christ, well, you know, after all that time, that should make us shudder in terror. I know it just broke my heart because scripture is very clear about what awaits those who reject him.
Right. And you know that it's not only just the celebrity pastors and things like that. There's this whole ex-Christian movement of people who say that they are no longer Christians. They were Christians, but now they're not Christians anymore. And so I guess maybe one of the first things we need to take a look at is that even possible? Is it possible to be a genuinely saved person, a genuine Christian, and then to later turn away from the faith?
Many people in Christianity say, true Christians can lose their salvation because of several New Testament texts that seem to indicate that this can happen. And they'll sometimes point to 1 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. I'll just read it. It says, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." What do you make of that scripture? You know, what is going on here in context?
Well, I think, you know, we really have to look at each passage of scripture in conjunction with the entirety of scripture. Yeah. The rest of scripture does not, there are no clear verses that say, yes, you can be a genuinely regenerated Christian and then turn away from the faith. You know that 1 John 2:18-19 says that, verse 19 in particular says, they went out from us, yes, from the church, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. In other words, these people who consider themselves to be quote unquote ex-Christians went out from the church, went out from Christianity because they were not genuinely saved. Because this passage says if they had been, they would have stayed. They would have endured. And I think scripture is very clear that those who are saved will endure till the end and stay with Christ and continue to walk with him all the days of their lives.
Yeah, you know, and theologically speaking, I guess what we're talking about here is this concept of apostasy. It's a term that comes from a Greek word that means to stand away from. So when we talk about those who have become apostate or who have committed apostasy, we're not calling names. We're talking about those who have fallen from the faith, or at least from the profession of faith in Christ that they made. So they didn't really fall from being a regenerated soul. They fell from their profession of faith. So, you know, the question that we have to come to grips with is, are these people who are guilty of a real fall, irretrievably fallen and eternally lost, or is it just temporary? And these are things that we all need to grapple with. And the way we do that is we go to scripture, we open it up, and we begin to read. And I think you're right. The first the first answer to this question has to be a resounding no. Like you said, in 1 John, you know, they went out from us, but they were not of us. And that right there is probably the place I would start.
Right. And then I would also bring in the parable of the soils from Matthew 13. Matthew 13 tells us, I'll just read it real quickly. a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depths of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So we can see that the gospel is going to go out, and the sower is going to, the people like us are going to share the gospel and spread it to a lot of different kinds of people. And for some people, that gospel is going to take root, and Christ is going to regenerate that heart. That's the seed that fell on good soil. But we'll notice that there are four different kinds of soil, and only one of them is genuinely regenerated, that good soil. The ones that fall on the path, the ones that fall on the rocky ground, the ones that are scorched by the sun and the weeds choke them out and things of this nature, these people are hearing the gospel, and maybe they appear to be Christians for a while, but the seed has not taken root and really become its own plant and grown, I guess you could say, if you want to continue with that metaphor. So just because, you know, you have a little sprout there growing from the soil doesn't mean that it's going to actually be someone who is genuinely regenerated.
You know, it's interesting because we were talking about our testimonies, and I just remember sitting in, you know, the pews all those years, probably about 12 years of being a Catholic and then going into a very liberal church where the truth was not taught, thinking to myself, well, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I love going. I love seeing my friends there. But once I was actually truly saved by hearing the gospel, because that's how we are saved, is faith comes by hearing the word of God. And once I realized who I was before God and that I was now regenerated, I looked back at those years and I thought, wow, I was really fooling myself. I had no idea. I thought I knew him, but if I had, you know, of course, passed away before hearing the gospel, I surely would have not been saved. So, but again, you look at verses like 1 John 3:6, where he's talking about examining yourself, and he says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. So one who keeps on sinning has neither seen him nor known him. So you got to kind of look at the fruit, don't you?
Exactly. And you know, that's the same thing that Jesus says in Matthew 7:21. Now he's talking in the context of false teachers, but this applies to everyone, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And what is the will of the Father? The will of the Father is for us to repent and believe the gospel, just like Jesus was telling us. And so, you know, a lot of these verses can kind of sound scary to folks who maybe they struggle with doubt over their salvation. Maybe they just aren't really sure exactly where they stand with Christ because, you know, maybe they just don't feel saved a lot of the times, and they're relying more on how they feel than on scripture. But we've talked about several verses in 1 John, and 1 John is such a great book to go to if you're doubting, you know, if you need some assurance about your salvation. 1 John 5:13 just really wraps up the whole book, because John, in 1 John, John goes through all these neat little checkpoints of Christians do this, non-Christians do that. And so it's really easy to see, you know, kind of evaluate yourself and figure out where you are according to God's word. And in chapter 5, verse 13, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And it's just so, it just gives you so much peace to read through and see, you know, well, I guess these things are true of me, that I am living this way, like John says, and these things that are true of Christians, and it can just give you so much assurance. So I would encourage anyone out there who's listening, who is struggling with assurance over their salvation, especially listening to this topic that we're talking about today, to go through 1 John and to look at what he says is true of Christians, and to be reassured and to have that peace and to measure yourself against scripture, not against how you feel or you know, you just wake up on the wrong side of the bed one morning or something like that. You know, we want to make sure when Scripture says, test yourself to see if you're in the faith, we want to test ourselves against Scripture, not against anything else.
Yeah, and those who are his children, I love going to Romans 8:38, for I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, so encouraging.
Absolutely. And I'll just add one to that as well. In John 10:27-29, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And we know that he's not talking about speaking audibly. We know he's talking about, we will recognize who he is through Scripture. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So nobody, even I myself, am not powerful enough to snatch myself out of Christ's hand, out of God's hand, and no one else can snatch us out either. And that is such a reassurance to me, that he's got me and I know him and he knows me. And wow, it's just so beautiful to think about that, to think of all that he's done for us. And on top of that, he's there to calm us and to reassure us whenever we have those doubts and those wonderings about maybe we're not saved or something like that. So he's just so good. I know we've read a lot of Scripture today, but
yeah,
Scripture is wonderful. I mean, it's so reassuring and comforting to get into Scripture and see what it says about these difficult issues and how God works through his word to work in our hearts and to take care of us and to comfort us and give us peace.
You know, and that's such good words of truth there, Michelle. And I think too that we can be inspired by this story of Josh Harris and his departure from Christ, because it reminds us of a couple of things. It reminds us that we can pray for him and we should pray for him. By no means should we ever be haughty or just self-righteous about any of that. We need to look at, like First John says, self-examination, repentance of sin in our own life. You know, look for those things that maybe we're on a slide. Great chance to ask the Lord to reveal to us through his Holy Spirit our sin. And he'll do that through Scripture. And just to cling to Christ by faith, because we need to be aware of any compromise that we might be endangered in. And you know, we can easily just lose track of reading Scripture. You know, that's where the doubts come in, because we forget. Why do we forget? I don't know, but we always do. And we can grieve, but don't be surprised by this, because, Jesus spoke of a great falling away, and we're seeing that happen. And it's been happening not just in the last few weeks, but it's been happening over many, many, many years, decades, and centuries. So we need to make sure that we are steadfast and that we cling to him through faith.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that sort of brings us to a conclusion maybe of what we're talking about today. We want to be sure that we stay in the word and we stay in prayer and that we stay in church too. That's something we hadn't really talked about too much with regard to this, but don't try to go off and be that Lone Ranger Christian and say you don't need the church. This is one of the things you need the church for. You need to be there to hear the teaching of the word and to be in the fellowship of other believers, so that when you do wake up with that feeling one morning of, wow, I wonder if I'm really saved, you can go to church or you can get your Sunday school friends on the phone or whatever, and you can be encouraged by the fellowship of the saints, and they can sharpen you and lead you to the right scriptures to focus on and things like that. And so we need to, just to wrap things up a little bit, we want to encourage you to stay in the word and stay in prayer and stay faithful to your local church. And that will help you to know, if maybe you really aren't saved, and that will help you to get the gospel and you can get saved. Or if you really are saved, that'll help you to be encouraged and strengthened in God's word.
Oh, very encouraging. And, you know, as we do wrap this up, I think this went well. Michelle, we should probably let folks know where they can hear these podcasts. I know I'm going to be posting this on Berean Research, where I have a ministry, and also Naomi's Table. And you've got a website, right, where you're going to be posting this?
Right. I'll post this on michellelesley.com, and of course all my my own social media platforms. And we're also going to have a Facebook page and a Twitter page for the podcast itself. And more information will be coming about that in the future. So look for us on Facebook and Twitter in the future, and we'll just be all over the place.
We will. And you know, we both get a lot of questions from women wondering about all sorts of things, like biblically sound teaching, marriage, church life, how to navigate those theologically tough dilemmas. So as these podcasts come down, we're going to be taking on those questions and looking to Scripture for wisdom. And that's going to do it for this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. So until next time, walk worthy.